Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Would you turn with me in your copy of the scriptures to Romans chapter 12? Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Father, in this day, gathered in your name, our eyes are on you. We look to you for our help, for insight, for encouragement, for strength. We look to you for blessing, that our lives may be filled with your joy. Open our eyes now as we look into your holy word in Yeshua's name. Amen. Romans chapter 12, I'll read for us the first 5 verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Messiah, and individually members of one another. Shaul had begun this part of his letter after 11 chapters of highlighting the truth of God and what it means to be in a relationship with Him, the gospel, coming to life through Yeshua. He turned at this point and began to say, I urge you as a family member, as a father urging his children, as a mother encouraging and caring for her children, I urge you by the mercies of God that he has been highlighting, I urge you by these mercies, by God's action to bring to us his mercies, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, and it's a reasonable and a rational thing for us to do. This is our reasonable service. And then that we are not to conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And he begins to highlight for us how important the mind is. And then in verse 3, Shaul comes to focus in on our thinking, even more specifically. He says, For I say, through the grace given me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. First, he begins by highlighting the fact that he is speaking by the grace of God. He is referring to his calling and gifting as an apostle, as one who has seen Yeshua, and therefore is speaking with his authority and his commission, and speaking as one who is gifted to do so. And so he is carrying into this statement the sense of authority that he has, urging us to think properly. And he highlights the fact that this calling and this gifting is the result of the grace of God. It was not something that Shaul had earned or deserved, but rather it was the freely given blessing of God, the intentional purpose of God to bless him, not because he could earn it or deserve it, but because of God's purpose and design. Shaul talked about this in another place in the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. He elaborated the gospel that he preaches and talked about the aspects of the gospel. And then in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says this, But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Shaul knew that all he was the result of God's grace at work in his life. And by faith, Shaul cooperated with that grace, which is the empowering also to do what God invites us to do and impresses us to do. In another occasion, Shaul talks about this grace in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Shaul says this about grace. In him, that is in Yeshua, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Shaul is highlighting for us that God's gift of life, his payment for our wrongdoing, his redeeming us and rescuing us, is a result of grace. And it's a result of the riches of God's grace. God doesn't have just a little bit of grace, and he doesn't deal it out just a little bit at a time, and a piece here and a piece there. God is a bazillionaire in grace. He is incredibly wealthy with his grace, and he is incredibly generous. We have seen in the studies that we've been looking at in the first letter of Timothy that Shaul called himself the greatest, the worst of sinners, so that it would be obvious that all of us could experience God in a relationship with him. That God is fabulously wealthy in this grace, and he is not a miser when it comes to doling out his grace and inviting us into a relationship of life with him. This grace is also what God displayed when he gifted people. And later on in this chapter, Shaul will highlight that we are the body of Messiah, and it is by grace that we are gifted, that we receive enablements, gifts to exercise in the family for the building up of the family, and it is all of grace. They are called grace gifts because they highlight the grace of God. And they are received not because we have earned it or deserved it, but they are received according to the wisdom of God bestowed upon us by his rich and lavish grace. So Shaul comes to the believers, and he's writing all the believers that are gathered there in this congregation in Rome. And he's speaking to all of them about grace, the authority he has to speak by the grace of God. And then he says, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. In this short statement, Shaul uses the same word for think four times. That must mean it's very important, that he is focusing in on the mind. And I think perhaps the mind is the most important aspect of our being, that over and over in the scriptures, God talks more about the mind and also, I think, about our emotions than perhaps the other aspects of our being. He knows that we're a complete package, and he knows that it's all important. But the scriptures have often pointed out to us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so our thinking, our minds, our thoughts are so very important. And Shaul has already said that we are transformed when our minds are renewed. And we've highlighted that our minds are renewed through the scriptures and through the direct involvement of the Ruach HaKodesh, this Holy Spirit in our lives. Yeshua, when he was on the earth, was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? And he made this statement, that the greatest commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. That our minds are to be in love with God. That we delight in thinking the things of God, the thoughts of God. When Yeshua was on the earth, and in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, right in the very middle of this part that's called his Sermon on the Mount, he spoke of not worrying. He spoke of God's provision for our lives. And in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25, this is what Yeshua had to say. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Throughout this teaching, Yeshua invites us to think. He goes through a logical progression. He tells us, look, open our eyes and look at the birds. Have you ever taken time to watch birds and how they walk around and how they eat and get worms and whatever else God provides? As you may know, I work at the University of British Columbia in campus ministry there. And this week I was on campus and I was sitting in the student union building having lunch, and in walked a pigeon. And this pigeon hit the mother lode, because underneath all the tables are crumbs. And the pigeon was walking around eating crumbs, having a feast. And I thought of this passage. God says, Yeshua says, look at the birds. Consider how God takes care of them and provides for their food. And then he says, look at the flowers. And we have a wealth of flowers in our area. So many beautiful flowers. So gorgeous and lovely to look at and fragrant. And that is the way God has clothed them. More beautiful than their wealthiest robes that Solomon ever wore. Now, if God provides for these little birds, and if God takes such care to clothe the flowers, and you and I were made in his image, the pinnacle of his creation, won't he take care of us? Won't he give us all we need? And so Yeshua invites us to engage our minds, to think, to consider, to look at, to reason with the help of the Holy Spirit, and to come to the conclusion that if God has done that in providing for his creation, certainly he will provide for us. And then Yeshua highlights that the most important thing in life is not to seek the food, not to seek the clothes, but rather to seek the kingdom, to seek God himself, the giver of all good gifts. So Yeshua is saying your mind is important. He wants us to love God with all of our minds, and he invites us to think things through and to come to the conclusion of God's care and to come to the further conclusion that worry is totally unnecessary and unhelpful. Therefore, we can have a peace-filled life. And God's going to provide for us day by day, Let us enjoy his provision today and know that he's going to take care of all the troubles we have today, and don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. God has grace and gifts and blessing for today, and he has grace and gifts and blessing for tomorrow. So leave tomorrow and tomorrow and enjoy today, and let your thinking help you trust in the Lord. Well, the scripture goes on in many places to help us see that it is important for us to set our minds on the things above, to set our minds on the things of heaven, to live our lives according to the promises of God, to live our lives knowing that the kingdom of God is in our midst and that God is present here with us. There is an account in the life of Elijah in the first book of Kings where Elijah is living according to heavenly mindedness from God's perspective, according to his promises. Because of the wicked ruling of King Ahab, Elijah, as God's prophet, prophesied that there would be no rain, and there was no rain for a period of 3.5 years. And Elijah, being a part of this, was experiencing the same lack, but God was taking care of him. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, we see one of the ways that God took care of him and how Elijah helped a widow to think clearly about God. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up. God had told Elijah to go live by the brook Cherith. And then that brook had dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. What must Elijah have thought? That God sent him to this place for provision. And he runs into the widow and finds out that the widow only has enough for one meal. But Elijah was living, thinking according to the promises of God. God had spoken to him. And so he spoke the word to the widow, and it was a test to her. But somehow God created that same confidence in her that was in Elijah. And she acted in faith by making her last piece of bread, she thought, for him. And God multiplied the flour and the oil and took care of them for a long time. And so it is with us, that God invites us to think and to live in light of his kingdom, to realize that the resources of his kingdom are infinite because God owns it all, and to realize that God acts in our life according to his grace, according to the riches of his grace. Well, Shaul invites us not just to think in a heavenly-minded way, but he says that we are to think soberly. We are to think accurately about ourselves. And that means that you and I are to not think too high of ourselves or not think too low of ourselves. That sometimes we can look at ourselves and we can get puffed up and think of how good we are, whatever abilities we may have or strengths or skills, and we can look at those and perhaps forget that God has given them to us. Or maybe we look at ourselves and we think, wow, I have nothing to offer. There's nothing in my life that I can give. And we think, I'm empty, I'm useless. And God says on both counts that we're wrong. God says, I have gifted you, but everything you have is a gift from me. Everything. Charles would say that in one of his letters. He would say, for what makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Did you decide to be born? No, you were born. Did you decide that the earth would have the air that you needed to breathe? No, God gave that to you. God gave us everything we have, the mental capacity that we have, the physical body that we have, the abilities. And God also, when we come into His family, gives us gifts so that you and I can build up the body together. We need each other. None of us can say, well, I don't need you, I've got it all. And none of us can say, you don't need me, I've got nothing. We each have something to give and to share and to serve each other. And this kind of sober thinking is called by another name. And you know what that name is? It's called humility. Accurate, sober, sane thinking is to think with humility, recognizing the greatness of God and the blessing of God, and giving Him all the glory and giving Him the thanks, not denying what we have, but also recognizing that all we have comes from Him. One of the most glorious passages about humility in all of the Scripture is in the letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. And it's a description of Yeshua. Some think that this was a hymn from the first century. But Shaul includes it in his letter in Philippians chapter 2. And he uses it as an illustration of the attitude that we are to have. And he begins in verse 5 and he says, let this mind, same word as in Romans 12, let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That is, He was truly and fully God. He was God, equal with God, in essence, part of the Godhead. And that He did not have to clutch at this, it was His by divine right, by essence. That He did not have to hold on or grasp it. But He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, that He became fully human without giving up any of His godness, but He laid aside His prerogatives as God and became fully man while also continuing to be fully God. And what did He become? He became a bondservant. Wouldn't you think that the King of Kings would come as royalty, with great robes and pomp and splendor and live in a palace? But when Yeshua is describing living out what it means to be truly human, He comes as a servant, as a humble servant. And how does He live? In verse 8 it says, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Yeshua, the second Adam, showed us what true humanity is to be. That you and I are most thoroughly human when we are humbly living out our relationship with our Father in loving, faith-motivated, grace-enabled obedience. That He is our Father and our Master, and that whatever He says, that's what we want to do. Because we are the servant of the great King of the universe. And great King that He is, He takes care of all of His servants. That is the kind of thinking that Shaul says that we are to have. Not too high, not too low, but accurate reality thinking that we, like Yeshua, are to be the servants of the Most High God. All that we have is a gift. And all that we are belongs to Him. Over and over in Scripture, God highlights to us that He provides all that we need to live in this relationship with Him. He gives us such wonderful and great encouragements. In the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, He talks about our minds in a roundabout way. And here's what He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. God's grace, God's gifting, God's involvement in our life, God's inviting us to be His servants, to invite us to be truly human, that all of this gives us great hope. That our salvation and our relationship with God is a relationship of hope. Hope says that the best is yet to be, that good is around the corner for us because God is there and that's where we're headed. And hope is a helmet for us. The hope of salvation is what protects and blesses and guards our thoughts. That regardless of how dark this world may get, that you and I are headed for glory. And that completely controls and guides our thoughts so that there can always be a spring in our step. And knowing that whatever we're going through now, if it's dark and difficult, if it's hard, if it seems like it's never going to end, that our minds re-engage with the Scriptures and we know that hope is coming. The hope of our salvation. God has started a good work in us and He will bring it to completion. And that God has saved us, and as someone has said, based on Romans chapter 8, He who did not spare His own Son, but freely gave Him for us all, how will He not also graciously give us all things? Having given us the package, will God now refuse us the ribbon? And the answer is, of course not. Our great God gives us the hope to carry on. He is the God who says that I am the God of all hope, and I will fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Shaul comes again to tell us to think, to use our minds to think about who we are and what we have. Our minds that are renewed, that our minds that have come to love and treasure God and to treasure His will, and that God is at work in our life by His grace, and He is at work in our life according to faith. The faith that He gives, the faith to live, is a gift that even God gives us. everything by faith from first to last. God is involved in the process. Thank God for His work in our life. Thank God for giving us minds with which to think and to trust and to know Him and to love Him. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank You for the blessing of the minds that You have given us. And we thank You that You don't say to lay our minds on the shelf and to stop thinking, but rather You say, think with me. Think in love with me. Love me with all of your mind. And think according to my revelation, my grace. We thank You so much, Father, for all that You have given us to think about and that all that You want us to experience as we come to believe what You have said. Father, thank You especially for the gift of hope. Thank You that You are coming soon and that that is a great encouragement to us. Now fill us this day with Your hope and guide our thoughts and bless us in Yeshua's name. Amen.